Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the congregation. I love being a father. Can you say amen to that? How many fathers in here can say amen to that? Yeah, love my kids and grandkids. Today, I want to be encouraged as a father, and I believe all dads do, and I want to do that today. I want to encourage dads and really everyone with a message that the goodness of a father's heart is a reflection of our Heavenly Father's heart for each of us. Amen? I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus calling God Father and how remarkable, astounding that was for the people that first heard it. To us now, it's just something that we've become accustomed to, but yeah, it was a very revolutionary idea when Jesus came on the scene and began over and over again talking about God as Father. Yeah, it's kind of a mystery for all of us to try to understand the Godhead. I mean, let's face it, the Trinity, three in one, is hard for anybody to get their heads around, any human being. We're humans, that's why it's hard, because we exist in one person. But God is a being that exists in three persons. And the cool thing, when you really prayerfully study, you know, the concept of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, is that out of the fellowship and the community, the family that existed, God created another family that He wanted, not that He needed, that He wanted, because He wanted to share the kind of community, the kind of fellowship, the kind of love, the kind of intimacy that He was already enjoying in the community of God, if you're following that, with His creation, that's us. In the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, it says something really powerful that, again, would have been revolutionary to the first hearers. It said, "Yet to all who did receive Him, receive Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." You see, Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God, right? He came to reveal what the Father was like and to reveal the Father's heart. The cool thing about Scripture and about what Jesus said and taught is that because Jesus is God's Son and He gives us the right to be called God's children, that means Jesus is our brother as God is our Father. In church now, when we even hear messages about the Lord's Prayer, you know, "Our Father." We say "Our Father" because we're a part of now a community, a family of God. I mean, some churches are really big on that. I don't know if you've ever been to a church that's what you hear often, you know, "Hey, brother, hey, sister," right? Well, it comes out of the truth of Scripture that because we are brought into the family of God, we are related to God in that way. And we have been given the right, the privilege of calling God our Father. You know, as nice as it would be and sound, it wouldn't be true to say that every human being has been given that right. I know it's a nice thing to think that every human being is God's children, but the truth of the Scripture is that you are not given that right to call God your personal Father until you enter the relationship with Him through Jesus the Son. Is that making sense? And it's through your faith in Christ that you are given that privilege, given that right to call God Father, our Father. I said that I love to be a father, and I loved the fact that While I had him on this earth, I had an earthly father that loved me very much. As, you know, crazy as things were sometimes, there was one constant in my life, and it was about the only constant in my life, but that constant was I knew I was loved. I knew I was loved by my parents. And, you know, as I think about my dad, I think often how I miss him, and I miss his voice. It was an awesome thing, just like God, to do something for me. My dad was kind of like a jack of all trades, master of none, and he did his own repair work, fixed his own cars, especially. And I worked with a guy who wanted to learn how to put brake pads on a car. He had nobody that ever taught him to do that. And I said, I bet you my dad would show you. And so this friend I work with, his name is John York. He lives up in Entrecon. And he said, could I videotape him doing it? Because then I'd watch him and then I would learn from him. And so we had a blast. It was right before my dad got sick. And my dad was very happy to show John how to do that work. And John, you know, had videotaped every minute of it because he wanted to review the tape and then learn how to do it again himself. He always had the tape to fall back on then if he forgot something, you know, had some parts missing or left over, you know. Well, after my dad died, and, you know, after the initial focus that was the viewing and the funeral and all the family attention and all that, which was wonderful. For those of you that can relate to this, it's kind of like the few weeks after that it really sinks in. And, you know, it's the reality begins to hit. And wouldn't you know it, just about that time, that in the mail came the VHS tape that my friend had made of my dad changing those brake shoes. And do you know what a joy it was to pop that tape in and not only see him smiling and laughing — my dad had a great laugh — but to hear his voice, period. You know, that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I know that even after 16 years, that if my dad were to walk into this church and my back was turned and I would hear him say, Johnny, I would know his voice. Amen? You can relate to that, right? You see, I start this way because even as I tell that story, you know, I can hardly help but tear up. Why? It's because of the love, right, that you feel for your father and you know that he felt for you. It's a wonderful thing. And again, my message today is that we feel, that we give as fathers, is a reflection of our father and his love for us. We have been given the right to become the sons and daughters of God. We have been given the right to access our Heavenly Father. You know, access. My kids don't need an appointment to come and see me. And I don't need an appointment to come and see my Heavenly Father, right? I mean, I have talked to you many, many times about how the devil works hard to distort the picture of what God's like for people, so that if the devil messes up your picture of what God's like, then most likely you're not going to have good relationship with him. You know that makes sense? You know, if the devil succeeds in distorting, you know, your picture of who God is and what he's like, especially if that distortion, you know, comes and you think, you know, God is a mean God or an angry God or a God that's getting even by giving you sicknesses or troubles in your life, you know, then the devil will do that to try to distort that picture so that you don't get close to him, because he knows that if the picture clears up and God is revealed to you as a Heavenly Father, you're going to want to be with him. Amen? You're going to want to be close to Him. And you're going to feel that you can be close to Him, a Father that loves you that much. When Jesus taught us to pray, He said, "Our Father," right? Our Father. He is the kind of Father that always has time for us. In hospice care, I'm amazed at how many times I encounter people that think they're bothering God by praying to Him all the time. It's like when I was praying here this morning, you know, I said, some people may think it's a little thing to pray for acid reflux, but it's not. And you wouldn't believe how many people that think that they can't bother God with, you know, their, you know, small little prayers. You know, the truth of the Scripture reveals that nothing could be further from the truth. That God's a Father that cares about every little detail of our life and loves it when we bring Him into those details, right? And ask Him for help. Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven." And at first you might think that that was unusual for Him to say that because Jesus was trying to help us understand how close God was. But when Jesus was talking about the Father in heaven, the real reason that He spoke those words was to speak about the authority that God has. You know, we live here on this ball of clay we call Earth, a part of a big galaxy called the Milky Way, which is a part of a multitude of galaxies in the whole universe, right? And when we say to God, "We know that You are our Father in heaven," It should symbolize for you a Father that has authority over it all, that measures that whole universe with the span of His hand. In the old days, they tell me, I'm old but not that old, that they used to measure horses with the span of a hand, right? And that's true, right? And you know, the Scripture tells us that we have a Father so big that He goes like this when He measures the universe. The same universe, Paul, that you look out at your telescope at. The same universe that they haven't found the end of yet. And God goes like this. You see, our Father in heaven should help us understand the unlimited power of the One whom we call Abba, Father. The One who can do anything. Amen? So, our Father. I remember the very first time that our family took a trip to Mexico. You know, we had just gone there not too long ago. It was the first time. There was this 1-800 number that somebody at work had given me. And I called it Crazy Eddie's Travel Agency because you called and it was a recording. And this lady, I think it was a lady, with a raspy voice would, you couldn't quite tell, and she would, you know, "Attention, shoppers, you," and then she would just go into all the details of all these different trips that were available at crazy low prices. That's why I call them Crazy Eddies, right? You remember, we used to dial it, and let's listen to that thing. It was a recording. And then we picked one that was really inexpensive, all-inclusive. First time we ever went to what they called an all-inclusive, you know, with all the meals and stuff were, and it was the Caribbean Village in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, just south of Cancun. And it was wonderful. I ate till I almost bust, right? I mean, it was the first time you go to an all-inclusive, you figure, whoa, buddy, you know? But the thing that I wanted to tell you is we wanted to do it all, you know, in that new experience. So we wanted to go snorkeling. You ever go snorkeling? It's an awesome thing, you know, especially if you can really see a lot of fish. So we booked a snorkeling trip, and you had to go, and they put you on a boat, and they take you out to this coral reef, because right outside of Cancun is that island of Cozumel, and it has the largest coral reef outside of Great Barrier Reef. And so there is a lot of neat fish and stuff like that. Well, a lot of crazy things happened. We almost fell out of the boat. Kim got attacked by killer fish. Actually, you know, they wanted the fish to come, so they chummed. Any of you fishermen know what chumming is? You know, they threw fish food into the water around Kim. And so as the fish food is kind of settling all over her body, all of a sudden, hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of fish began to attack her. Now, these weren't piranhas, but you wouldn't know it, but because she was... She actually did have some blood as a result of it. I mean, it was minor, but it scared her because of the... Yeah. But then we had this... I knew about this, the fact that the company that owned that resort had another resort on that island of Cozumel. And because we had a wristband, we could go there and swim and eat or do whatever we want. So we asked the guy to drop us off on the beach and that we would walk to the Black Diamond, whatever it was. I think it was that's what it was called. Oh my God, it's 104 degrees, Joe. And you know, you're out in the boat and you don't realize it. You're in the water, you don't realize it. When they dropped us off on the beach, I realized it. And there I am, you know, Josh is about 6 or 7, I don't know, somewhere around there, which meant Alyssa was 3 or 4 or 5, in and around there. It all runs together. But the deal was, as we started walking in this 104-degree heat, do you remember that? I mean, it was so baking, stinking hot, and we were all dying, you know. And then Alyssa starts to whine. You know, like, if I know none of your kids ever do that, but she starts to whine, and so she says those words that in 100-degree heat you don't want to hear. Daddy, carry me. Megan, you know. Exactly. So there I am, hoisting her up on my shoulders, and the sweat is pouring off of me like a river, you know, and we're walking. And I thought, you know how perception when you're out in a boat, you know, I thought it was... You know, maybe a couple hundred yards. Well, it was about a mile and a half in that sand. You ever try to walk in the sand? And I'm telling you, when we got to that place, it was like, I don't know if I can take another step, Joe. But again, it was, I knew I had to do it. I knew that she wasn't going to walk it herself. And so up on my shoulders she went. Now, I tell you that story because that story reminds me of the fact that we have a God with big shoulders. That we have a God that can carry us when we need carried. And that's the truth. A God who loves to do that. You know, one of his favorite expressions in the Bible is that I will carry you like on wings like an eagle. Right? How many times in the Old Testament do you find that expression? Why? Because that's God's nature. And when we need carried, He's there to carry us. He's there to help us. Our Father who art in heaven. You know, the key part is the point that God is our loving, perfect, heavenly Father. You know, there was one theologian that said that if you get this one point, it's practically everything about relationship with God, that He is your Father, a loving, unconditional loving Heavenly Father that will never leave you or forsake you. Amen? That's the power of understanding the Father's love, His faithfulness, His loyalty, the one who is there in all of our needs, the one who's always there, who we always can count on. Amen? When we were far away, He loved us. When we turned our backs on Him, He loved us. When we broke His law, He loved us. When we went our own way, He loved us. When we said, leave us alone, we don't want you around anymore, He said, I'm going to stay around. When we hid, He found us. When we cursed Him to His face, He said, I love you anyway. That's the kind of love our Heavenly Father has for us. He welcomes us back from the far country. Many Father's Day sermons have been preached on the story of the prodigal son. And I'm not going to re-preach it today. But I do want to focus on one part of that story, a part that sometimes you don't hear as much, because typically that story, Luke 15, the prodigal son, is about the son, right? And you know the story, and you know how this young man really was kind of spitting in his dad's face when he asked for his inheritance before his dad died. But you know how, for some reason, now listen to this, now, for some reason that we don't quite grab, that father in that story, which, by the way, Jesus is telling it, so it really is the picture of God the Father. You got to understand that that's the Father in the story, was Jesus trying to relate to us what the Father God is like. So in that story, the Father, when this rebellious young son, who basically says, you know, it's too bad you're not dead yet, but I want my money now instead of waiting. And the father says to him, All right. Now that should just cause you to stop and say, what? I wouldn't do that. Or would you? What did that father know? What did that father know, Mike, that we don't quite grab when we first read that story? What did that father know about the son? You see, that's the thing. As Jesus is telling this story, you got to understand that he's trying to help us understand that God knows us, every one of us, better than we know ourselves. So what did he know about the son that caused the father to say, all right, if it's money you want, here you go? What do you think? You know, in this world, we come up with a lot of different things that seek our attention, things that we prioritize over others, and we know that we need money to live. That's true. But the fact is that this father in this story saw money and saw a relationship with his son and said, this is what I want. So here, that's what you want, or you think you want? There you go. And this, you know, this, the son takes it and spends it, blows it. And he's hungry and penniless. But again, let's focus on the father. What's the father doing as the son is out partying? What do you think the father was doing? Well, the one thing it says, he was waiting, praying, hoping. Hoping what? That his son would return. Yeah. Do you think maybe that father was so wise that he knew that if he would have said no to his son, he'd have had his money, but lost his son? Come on. What would happen if that son then thought, my father doesn't love me enough to give me what I want, right? And leave and never come back. You ever hear a terrible story about a family that happens? It's an awful thing, right? To break the kind of relationship that's supposed to exist between a father and a son or a daughter. Yeah, maybe, just maybe, this father knew. Yeah, he'll go and blow it, but he'll know it wasn't me that kept him from it. I'll give him his way and pray that he comes to his senses, that he figures out what's more important. So the son, you know the story. The son finally comes to his senses and comes back. Now, you know and I know that the son had no high expectations about what would happen when he returned, right? He had already rehearsed a script that said, I'm going to say to my dad, I'm not worthy to be your son, so make me like one of your hired men. At least I'll have a roof over my head and some food to eat. And that was the best that he was hoping for. But that's not what he got. It says that when the father saw him from a distance, the father ran. Can you imagine the Jews that are hearing this for the first time? You know, it's already blowing their mind that Jesus is calling God Abba, Daddy, right? And now he's saying that this father that was insulted by his son is running toward his son that did this to him? Is running toward him? He didn't do that, by the way. You know, that was something that was not dignified, was not honorable. Did that father care? Who's the father in the story? God. What's the message Jesus was trying to tell us? Well, hang on here a second. One more thing. He gets back. The first thing the father does is smother him with kisses. You know what a kiss in the Bible represents? Forgiveness. First thing, kisses. Then what? After the kisses, he calls and says, bring me my robe, the best robe. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how a robe in Scripture represents the character of a person. So the father's best robe meant that he was bestowing upon his son an honor. An honor. The very son that had smacked him upside the face. The robe of honor was given to the prodigal son. And if that wasn't enough, he said, bring me my signet ring. And we don't use them anymore. But what they did back in those days is they had a ring that had a very unique inscription raised on it. And back in those days, if you sealed a letter with a drop of wax and pushed your signet ring into it, it was like your signature. You could take it to the bank, in other words. It represented all you had and all your authority. And he takes that ring and he gives it to his son. Here you go. All that I have is yours. And then he brings him sandals because his son is barefoot. Now the servants in the house would have still been barefoot. And the difference between a servant and a son is the sons wore shoes, sandals. The sandals in that story were a sign of freedom. The difference between a relationship with Abba as a relationship as a servant to a master, now the relationship, Jesus says, is one between a son and a father. A relationship of freedom. Freedom that God says, I don't take away your free will. I don't take away your ability to choose. But I want to show you how much I love you, because if you let that love into your heart, you'll want to do what's right. Not because you're not free to. You'll want to. That's relationship. That's what God always wanted. That's why this story is so powerful. He says, see me as that father, and know what loyal love is all about. My loyal love for you. There is a God in heaven who loves you unconditionally, and he gives you the right to call him Abba, Father. And he is the perfect father. He's where us as fathers look to for our role model. And believe me, I stand before you as one who knows how to screw up as a father. But I am blessed in knowing I can always go to my Father and ask for forgiveness and His help to try better, to do better, to love better. There's one thing that I never want to be guilty of before I leave this earth for heaven. And that one thing is I never want to be guilty of my family not knowing I love them. Amen? Amen. God feels the same way about you. Don't leave here today without knowing it. How much He loves you just the way you are. How deep His love is for you. How willing and wanting He is to bring you back into close relationship with Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the love that is so deep that Lord God, we just get an overflow of it and it's overwhelming. Lord, You desire to draw us deeper into that love, deeper into that realization that through it, Lord, we develop relationship that is so good. You are a good, good Father. And Lord, we are loved by You. That's who we are. So Lord, for every father in this congregation today, I pray blessings upon them. Lord, I pray forgiveness for them, for every one of us are imperfect. I pray for grace in their lives, but most of all, I pray that they know this one thing, that love conquers all, that love covers over a multitude of sins, that they are loved by You, and that the greatest thing they could do would be to love their family in that same way. So encourage them today, Lord. Encourage all of us with a love that never ends. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I have, I'm excited that we found some really nice Father's Day gifts for the men in the congregation today. I think you'll like them, so make sure you don't leave without it this morning. God bless you. Have a good day.